Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I think we got a great Friday show for you. Thanks so much for being with us. Second hour, we're going to talk about movies a bit because the biggest movie ever in the history of Earth, probably in the whole galaxy, is opening today. So we'll talk with Stephen Graydonis, the very fine movie critic, about movies for the second hour. This hour, have you ever heard this? Maybe from one of your kids or from a relative. I know religion is important to you, but it's just not important to me. That's just not part of my life or my thing or whatnot. We have a growing religious indifferentism or indifference to holy things. What's the cause of that and what do we do about it? If you would like to talk about that, if you have someone in your family who maybe is indifferent, it's not that they don't accept the answers of the church or of Christ himself. They're just not interested in that. And you'd like some help with that. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Matt Nelson, and in addition to being a Canadian, he's also a popular blogger whose work you can read at reasonablecatholic.com, and is the author of a brand new book from Catholic Answers Press, Just Whatever: How to Help the Spiritually Indifferent Find Beliefs That Really Matter. I'm not sure if I pronounced it right. Like, I feel like I should have more of some kind of millennial irony in my voice, but I'll work on that. Matt Nelson, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much for having me. It's good to be here.
When I saw that this book was coming out, I thought that is brilliant because often the problem is not that people are rejecting what Christ said or what the church said. It's that they just are indifferent to the other. They don't need that. They don't have a felt need for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm writing this book from the perspective of somebody who has been on both sides of the fence. When I left home after high school, I went off to university and eventually found myself being one of the spiritual but not religious.
Yeah.
And eventually found my way back. But when I, you know, writing this book, I was able to relate to it, you know, with that unique perspective. But everywhere I go and mention that, you know, up until now, mention that I'm writing this book, it's incredible how many people immediately just respond by saying, this is exactly what we need. And then they start to share their stories.
Yeah, I'm glad that I have found agreement in other people on that, because just as soon as I saw it, I thought, yes, that's we need to talk to, and we need to somehow find a way to reach people who are not at the moment. I suppose that's one way of thinking about it too. Not at the moment experience any felt need for God. But that doesn't mean that when this moment passes, whether it's this decade or the next decade, that they won't. How do we talk to those folks? 888-318-7884 is the number. And I have to admit, probably the most common request for prayer we get is, can you pray for my children who have left the church? And so if you're a parent who would like to maybe think about getting this book for yourself, to think about that. Or maybe you're one of those young people who has left the church, and for you, just whatever is a perfectly good answer to religion. 888-318-7884. I have to say, Matt, you made a choice in this book that I don't think is immediately obvious as a good choice. And so I want you to justify it to me. No, I mean, I do see, having read some, that it is, but you focus it around the word worship. You have the sections in it: why worship God, why worship Jesus, why worship in the Catholic Church. And I would think worship might be a word that would push people away. But what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think what I wanted to do is take a bold approach. And what we need to do is speak religious language eventually to people to justify religion. And also, because people are expecting us, when they want us to justify what we mean by Catholicism being worthwhile in terms of thinking seriously about it, or eventually moving on to ordering one's life around God. And I think that it's important right away to establish that we're not afraid to try to justify right to the top.
Yeah.
The very central action of religion, which is worship. Obviously, that word is a heavy word when we talk about religion to somebody who's not interested in religion. But I think we can be bold, maybe to wake somebody up initially, and then we take a step back and we listen to what is being said across the table. And then maybe we adapt our language a little bit at that point and work our way back towards language like worship eventually. So we can enter into a conversation with that confidence, which can sometimes be appealing in and of itself to show we're not afraid to take a stab at why it's worthwhile to worship God or worship Christ or worship within a certain church. But now let's step back and let's walk in your door and have a conversation, maybe let you set the tone a little bit.
That's fascinating to me because just yesterday we did an interview with the great scholar George Weigel, in which he advised us and all of our listeners against the idea of Catholic light, that it has an attraction to present the church in a light way, but that it may not do anybody any good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, we, I think, are running into this issue in many parishes everywhere, certainly here in Canada, and speaking to friends and family in the States, sounds like the same thing there, where Catholic light, so-called, is becoming so prominent that that's just how people are starting to understand Catholicism. But that's not the sort of religion that ultimately reaches the depths of the human heart and gives people what they're looking for when they're seeking out religion. I think you're right that this Catholic light is out there and it's becoming prominent. But I think it's time for people like us to speak confidently about the fullness of Catholicism that we have accepted and that we're excited about, and use that as our starting point.
888-318-7884 is our number if you'd like to speak with our guest this hour, author Matt Nelson, who has just come out with this brand new and fascinating book, Just Whatever, How to Help the Spiritually Indifferent Find Beliefs That Really Matter. When you write a book like this, do you have a person in mind? I mean, our religious landscape is so shattered and people are coming at it from so many different directions. Do you as an author go, here's the person that I'm thinking of as I'm writing this? So you have a kind of a mental audience.
Well, I think so. That was one of the interesting parts of writing this book. This book began to take shape about 3 years ago, and it was supposed to initially be a booklet. But the more that I thought about it and spoke with Todd, the Catholic Answers Press editor, and the more just, you know, prayed and pondered on it deeper, I began to sort of see that it was almost impossible to write a booklet in the way that I wanted to write this. And so religious indifference, generally speaking, is the failure to think seriously about religious questions. And then the failure to give God his due. So there's an intellectual and a practical component. But as I got thinking about it, you know, you look at some of these pew form landscapes, a full quarter of Americans now are unaffiliated with any religion. They self-identify with none whatsoever. So they've been called the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, as opposed to religious nuns in habit. So I definitely had the nuns in mind writing this book. But then I realized indifference also comes in many different forms and comes to different degrees as well. Even reflecting on my own experience, I kind of fluctuated day in and day out from different degrees and, you know, different degrees of indifference. And, you know, one day if you had a conversation with me, I'd sound like a full-blown skeptic, straddling the fence of agnosticism and atheism. And the next day, I'd, you know, be defending some Catholic doctrine that I heard misrepresented by somebody. So so I broke the book down into three sections, each section sort of giving an outline for an approach we might take apologetics-wise with three different kinds of indifferentists.
888-318-7884 is the number. Just Whatever is the book, how to help the spiritually indifferent find beliefs that really matter. Matt Nelson, the author, he is our guest. We'll be right back with your calls for Matt after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Barron, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
We live in an age of indifference. Does truth exist? Maybe. Is there a God? Who knows? Does it matter what religion you believe in? Probably not. If you think so, fine. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Apologist Matt Nelson says this indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates our culture. And rather than remain indifferent, he did something about it. In his new book, Just Whatever, Matt looks at the different kinds of indifference you likely encounter in your friends and family members, and maybe in yourself, and offers an antidote to the problem that plagues our age. Order your copy of Just Whatever today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host, and it is our great big Friday show. And it really is a great big Friday show. A lot of cool stuff to talk about, and a lot of cool people to talk about it with. Matt Nelson is the cool guy we're talking to this hour. Is that that's not a reflection on the fact that you live in Saskatchewan, but are people up there in Canada, are you cool, or are you kind of nerdy?
In the winter months, we're pretty cool.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you were going there.
Well, you set me up for that one. So.
Just Whatever, How to Help the Spiritually Indifferent Find Beliefs That Really Matter is Matt Nelson's book. And as I was saying to Matt in the first segment, I thought that is a brilliant idea, because some of our problem certainly is that people have the wrong answer about the Catholic Church or about Jesus or about God. But a good deal of our problem is folks just won't get started with questioning. They just don't care. And in your own mind, how much of that has to do with just kind of material well-being? We've got so much stuff. We can kind of tune out pressing questions of meaning.
Well, I think there's lots of factors that could probably be reasonably defended when it comes to religious indifference. But this was something that I went into depth in my book. I think that being distracted by there's just so much out there now to occupy us, and so much out there to encourage us into a life of self-actualization, that we're so focused in on, our social media and social approval, and just getting so sucked into. And I'm a fan of social media. I've got a Facebook and a Twitter account, but I think we're becoming so self-absorbed in many ways because we've been given so many new ways to do so. And on top of that, we carry these smartphones in our pockets, me included. And So we're connected to this social media and these, you know, even our email and Google.
Yeah.
You know, so anytime we have a question, we just go straight to Google. And knowing that we've got this power in our pocket, we start to not only become distracted and occupied with all of these things we've got going on that we're constantly checking in and out of, but we also, I think, can fall to this delusion of self-sufficiency where religion, which involves us giving ourselves, even surrendering ourselves to somebody else in a radical way, becomes something that's hard for people to rationalize when they feel like they've got all the power they need, you know, right at their fingertips.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's striking to me that people often say, like about atheism or many things, but let's just use atheism, for example, because it's one of the three things that you kind of, you know, indifference to God is one of the three things you deal with in just whatever, your brand new book. And but you'll hear people say, well, we just know so much more now, and that's why people don't believe in God. But you think, do we know so much more? Because it seems like all this new atheism coincides almost exactly with the period where our education system kind of started to fall apart and we all decided we're going to watch TV and have social media all the time.
Hmm. Yeah, I think if a new atheist or one of their followers or anybody for that matter wants to say that we know so much now that anyone reasonable won't be able to justify being a religious person, I'd like to know what they mean by so what we know exactly. When they say we know so much more, they mean we know so much more in the scientific realm? Do they mean we know so much more philosophically? Mm. I mean, that I think is the first question that we should be asking when a claim like that is made, because as many of the listeners are going to know, the question of whether God exists and what the nature of God is not ultimately a scientific question. So science can continue to advance, and as the Catholic Church, we'll continue to applaud that because we're on the side of science. But at the same time, if there's, let's say, you know, some kind of an advance philosophically where there's some really good arguments out there for atheism, well, we should be open to that too. We as Catholics shouldn't be afraid to dive in with anybody who wants to bring arguments against our faith to our attention.
That's an excellent point. I appreciate you saying that because that allows for the dialogue. It allows for the conversation. And that's a good part of what people need. We have a lot of callers on the line, and I've been kind of monopolizing you. Do you mind if we go to a call?
No, let's go for it.
All right, let's go to Robert in Camdenton, Missouri, listening on KHJR Covenant Network. Robert, you are on with Matt Nelson. Your question, please.
Hi, just a question. In terms of indifference, throughout history, I think mankind's had the choice, basically, of getting involved in history actively or just like a lot of people, just watching it go by, you know, just kind of like not getting involved in it, weighing up the decision as to whether to enlist in a war or not to enlist in a war. And finally, too, biblically, I think that when Jesus confronted a deaf mute, a mute and someone that was blind and that possibly had very limited possibilities of getting involved in history and probably more than likely seemed to be the most indifferent people alive. But when Jesus healed them, He gave them a new life. And in other words, the difference, the choices we have is to be indifferent or have new life. Could you remark on that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a good point, Robert. This is one of the things that I speak about probably most directly in the third section of my book. You mentioned that we're being offered as mankind new life in Jesus Christ. As Catholics, we understand that that new life comes to us in a very specific manner, at least normally speaking, and that's through the sacraments. And this is one of the things that I address in the third section of my book, where I address the problem of denominational indifference, which is indifference that exists within Christianity itself, where Christians and not necessarily non-Catholic Christians, but Christians, whatever their denomination is, are just okay with the splits and the fractures within Christianity today. And so for that reason, they don't go deeper and try to intellectually seek unity with other Christians. And so what I propose in this third section of the book is that the Catholic Church offers something very different from even the Eastern Orthodox, who come very, very close to being in full communion with the Catholic Church. I say we offer these three things. The first is complete unity in truth, that is in the doctrine, because the magisterium keeps us on the right track and protects the purity of the faith that was passed on by the apostles. The second is complete unity in Christ, especially through the Eucharist, but also through the other sacraments. And the third is complete unity through our communion with the saints, not just on earth, but in purgatory and heaven. And I think that what you're saying here is, yeah, we have this opportunity to present people with a profound kind of unity, new life altogether through the sacraments of the Catholic Church. And so why are people indifferent to the sacraments? Well, I think in one sense, I would just say it's probably got to do many times with just the fact that people don't know what a sacrament is and don't understand the full gravity of the Christian life without the sacraments. Does that get anywhere near what you were trying to comment on,
Robert?
Excuse me, just one last question. I just brought this up. You know, indifference is, you know, it's, I don't know, would it be considered a sin? But in a way, there's something really positive about it, because it's kind of a lesser sin than a greater sin, than a greater sin is.
I wonder about that, Robert. But immediately when you say that, that makes me think of the image of Christ spitting the lukewarm out of his mouth. You know, that statement, be either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. But yeah. Matt, your take.
Yeah, well, I would just say that, the church has been clear that atheism is potentially considered a sin if somebody has had adequate opportunity to come to knowledge of God and has rejected, number one, that opportunity or that rational capacity to come to know God. This is a sort of thing that is rooted right in Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 20, where he says, ever since the beginning of creation, God has revealed himself, his nature, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity in the things that have been made. And so he goes on to say that those in Rome who are falling to grave sins are without excuse. And so there are people on earth that are fully rational and capable of coming to know God through rational theology, through observing the physical world, and at least coming to know something of who God is. And so I think that there is a culpability involved with indifference, where people, especially people of the age of reason, who are capable of coming to know God through what they observe around them, and capable of experiencing God, if God is reaching out to them in some supernatural way, we're still capable of rejecting that. So yeah, I think this is a really good point made by Robert, that indifference is not just an unfortunate phenomenon, but it could very much be a moral phenomenon as well. We consider it that.
Right, because we have a moral obligation to be fully reasonable and responsible in the choices that we make.
Exactly.
And when we're avoiding that, we're making a very grave choice. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. Robert, we're going to send you a free copy of just whatever. Am I saying that right, or should I give more emphasis on it? Just whatever? How am I doing?
That sounded good. Oh, I like the second one.
We're going to send you a copy of that. Every caller who gets through and is able to talk with Matt today, we're going to send you a free copy of this brand new book. If you'd like to buy the book, if maybe someone in your family is of just whatever kind of attitude when it comes to God or Jesus or the church, the book is on sale, 15% off right now. If you put the promo code SPRING18 in with it, actually everything at shop.com, shop.catholic.com is on sale, but also we're going to give you free shipping on this book for the next few days. Since we've got Matt here with us, we thought we'd send it out to you without any shipping cost. if you order it in the next couple of days. Just whatever, how to help the spiritually indifferent find beliefs that really matter. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Matt, is a part of this is maybe includes, as you said, being bold. Just be bold in the proclamation of what's available to you in God, in Christ, and in the church. If we go to part two and we talk about Christ, there seems to be this just growing willingness to almost make Christ or Jesus the butt of jokes in our culture, in our shared culture here in America and Canada and in the Western world. How do we get people past that trivializing of the person of Jesus?
Well, I think there's a number of ways to do that. My goal in that second part of the book is to give people some avenues to show them that the person of Jesus Christ needs to be taken seriously, not just in the moral teachings that he handed out, but in the very person that he claimed to be. And so...
Oh, you hear that music, huh? Sorry, I asked you the question. Let me ask you the hardest question I can with 30 seconds to go. Sorry about that, Matt. I wasn't paying attention to the clock. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll let you answer that, why we should take Jesus seriously, because that is one of the things that helps cut through that indifference. Just whatever, how to help the spiritually indifferent find beliefs that really matter. Matt Nelson, the author, 888-318-7884. The number. We'll be right back with your calls for Matt after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice is our new radio show for young adults.
The Holy Spirit is about a new and exciting work in the young church of today. On Encounter, we bring young adults the life-changing testimonies of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Their testimonies bring faith and power into the lives of everyone who listens.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice. The spiritual awakening continues Saturday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Interested in visiting Catholic Answers? If you live in or plan to visit beautiful Southern California, we'd love to have you come by for a tour. You can meet our apologists and staff, visit our chapel, and watch the broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. To arrange a tour, call us at 619-387-7200 or email us at visit@catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It is Friday, and that means the Great Big Friday Show. Our guest this hour is Matt Nelson, whose brand new book is just out from Catholic Answers Press. Just whatever, how to help the spiritually indifferent find beliefs that really matter. And we're talking a bit about indifference. And the book is broken up into three main sections, Matt. And we talked about the why you use the word worship and about being bold and proclaiming what we believe. And the first part is why worship God. The second part, why worship Jesus. The third part, why worship in the Catholic Church. And so my question to you before the break that I did not give you enough time to answer, and I want to do that before we go back to calls, had to do with how do we get a culture who has trivialized Jesus and people who have grown up in that culture to take Jesus seriously again?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I'm going to just step back from the direction I was going before. And the first thing I want to say is, interestingly enough, even though Jesus is being downplayed to something other than God in many cases and seen as a wise teacher or a wise guru of some sort or whatever it whatever the lesser than God title happens to be.
Right.
The interesting thing is Jesus has never fallen out of fashion, not even with the non-Catholic crowds. And actually, in his magisterial book, At the Origins of Atheism, Jesuit scholar Michael Buckley comments on this when he's talking about the Enlightenment and the fact that even though, as a result of the Enlightenment, there was an unprecedented skepticism which started to roll down, you know, towards our modern times now, Jesus was not really slandered during this time in any significant way. He was still recognized as somebody who had much of value to offer mankind in terms of at least his moral teachings. And so it's interesting how Jesus, all through these centuries, especially as Western civilization has become more secularized, has still remained in a sense fashionable, even though he, you know, maybe has been reduced to something other than what he claimed to be.
So he is a figure that you'd have to wrestle with then.
Yeah, and okay. Well, and exactly, and that's. But I want to just touch on that quickly because I think that then is our entry point for speaking about others to Jesus and getting to them to that point where they can see why we think Jesus is worthy of worship. What we need to do is show them who Jesus claimed to be and show them that we're not left with the option of calling him a wise teacher or a wise prophet. And anybody who's read C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity probably already is recognizing where I'm going with this. C.S. Lewis provides his famous trilemma argument in Mere Christianity where he says Jesus doesn't leave the option of calling him a good moral teacher or a great prophet because he claimed to be God.
Yeah.
And somebody who claims to be God but is not is either an evil liar trying to deceive the masses or he's a madman. And when you break it down, neither of those descriptions fit Jesus very well. And so we're left with that third option, which is Jesus was who he said he was.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. 884, the number. If you would like to talk with Matt Nelson, author of Just Whatever, the brand new book out from Catholic Answers Press, we go to Francis now in Newton, Iowa, listening on 94.5 FM. Francis, your question for Matt Nelson.
Hello?
Hi, Francis. You are on. You have
Francis.
A question for Matt Nelson?
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I have a question about worship, because he talked about his book being a lifting up worship as the highest form and the call as Christians.
Okay.
Is that right? Well, my question is that what form of worship then is he calling people to come to? To me, it seems like that it would be the Holy Mass, which is the true worship of the God the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and that him lifting up his very body and blood for us is the most glorious worship we can ever do, and that if we somehow find our meaning in life in that, that we have then found our meaning in life. And my point is that I have found that in my life, going to Mass for the last 45 years of my life, used in the ordinary form, it's actually taken me away from what real worship is. I was a little boy at 7 years old when the Latin Mass came English. And I remember at 7 years old, my father on his knees for almost a full hour at Mass. And he never sang anywhere else except at Mass. And I remember him singing the Sanctus as a little tiny boy. You know, just Sanctus.
So, well, Francis, I'm gathering what you're saying. Let me just see if I can encapsulate it for you, and we can form it in the form of a question for Matt. But it strikes me that Matt is saying we should be bold in inviting people to worship God, worship Jesus, and worship within the Catholic Church. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me you're saying what we need to be even more specific in the call and call people to worship in the what's now called the extraordinary form, the Latin Mass. Is that the point that you're making, Francis?
Well, I would say this, that the extraordinary form of the Latin Mass, it is absolute worship, with a sideline of a little bit of instruction. What I find in the ordinary form is it is all catechetical instruction with a little sideline of worship.
Okay, Matt, let's what do you make of that? Because you do make a very bold call that people should be worshiping within the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and I would say that that's primarily because it's in the Catholic Church where these three forms of complete unity are offered, but especially unity in Christ, both physically and spiritually through the Eucharist in the Holy Mass. But I'm interested to know from Francis, do you believe that whether a Catholic worships in the ordinary form or the extraordinary form of the Mass, receiving the Eucharist and participating in the sacraments in the state of grace, do you believe that there's an advantage to being saved ultimately by worshiping in one form versus the other?
Oh, Francis, I apologize.
I'm not an Adventist or anything like that. I believe that Jesus really is present. It is really the sacrifice of the Mass. But how we do it makes a difference. How we worship. Do we face in one direction and worship God, or do we face each other and worship each other?
Okay, Matt?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think that I'm the right person to get too far in depth in comparing and contrasting these two forms of worship. But what I would say is, ultimately, I think reading the lives of the saints, reading the catechism, the scriptures, we can conclude that the posture of the heart ultimately is going to be what trumps everything else. Now, it is important, obviously, to follow our conscience and our reason. And if we know the Catholic Church to be the true church Jesus founded, and we know the Eucharist to be what it truly is, then we have a moral obligation to be there and to participate in the ways that the church has prescribed as appropriate. But I think that's where I would depart on this one, is I would just say that as far as pitting up one form of worship versus the other within the acceptable forms of worship in the Catholic Church, that's something I would stay away from personally, just because my area of specialty is to focus on religious indifference, not so much which way we're worshiping within the Catholic Church. But I think that the extraordinary form of the Mass is a beautiful way to worship. And although I would disagree, and I'm not saying that this is what you're asserting, but I would disagree that one form over the other is going to, put someone on a better trajectory towards
holiness,
the pearly gates of heaven. I think that that might be a stretch,
but it is. It's wonderful to see that the extraordinary form is very appealing to many young people, and the ordinary form is very appealing to others. And myself, I'm probably one of those, the school of thought that's like, whatever you're wearing, wherever you're coming from, wherever you're going to, if you're coming to Mass, then I'm so happy that you're there. And I feel like we just need to get these young people to come, because they will find there the Lord. He's waiting for them there.
Yeah. C.S. Lewis actually talks about this in the Screwtape Letters. And one of the things that Lewis claims through his dialogue there is that the devil is trying to make us become indifferent towards our bodily postures when we worship. I think that this is an important conversation to have, and Francis is somebody that I would want to have that conversation with once, my relationship with him was at a point where we were both in the Catholic Church, we were, committed to the church as Catholics, and we were at a point where it's appropriate to be speaking about that sort of fine tuning of the ways we worship. But at the same time, we're living in the time of the nuns, which is the fastest growing religious demographic in the United States. And in Canada, it's very similar statistically. So if we've got somebody who is maybe for the first time ever, or maybe for the first time in a long time, gracing the doors of a parish, or even just entering into a religious conversation, and somehow we get tied up in these sort of secondary issues, because they're not necessarily secondary issues down the road, but at that point in the dialogue, they are. We can put people off right away, you know. So I think we just have to be prudent.
Yeah, as someone who has put people off right away, I completely agree with you. The fact is, right, with the reason we want people to receive the Eucharist is that Christ is there. The reason we want them to receive Christ is God and He loves them. The reason we want them to believe in God is because there's nothing more important, that we have to help people through. And I think you and I probably are both of the same experience, that someone had to help us, or a whole variety of people had to help us through the steps to finally come to the point where you just kind of, you surrender and say, yeah, there you are in the Eucharist. This is your church. This is my home. Matt Nelson is our guest. Just Whatever is the book. We're working through helping those who are spiritually indifferent to find God, to find Christ, to find the church. We'll be right back to do more of that with your calls for Matt on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. I'm sure you have heard that it's still okay these days to hold to the quaint superstitions of Catholicism as long as you leave them in church. Because when it comes to reality, religion is just foolishness that withers in the fierce light of science. Problem is, this narrative is false. It is in the Christian West that scientific discovery has most flourished. Still, too many of us find ourselves flat-footed when confronted with bugbears like Adam and Eve versus evolution, creation versus Big Bang, and Galileo versus the Inquisition. What can you do? Come to Catholic Answers 5th National Conference, Faith and Science. Guest speakers Father Terry Ehrman and Dr. Stacy Trasankos will join the whole Catholic Answers team to explain how faith and science are actually in harmony. September 27 to 30, right here in San Diego. And we are thrilled to announce a special keynote address by Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke, honoring the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. For all the details, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com.
We live in an age of indifference. Does truth exist? Maybe. Is there a God? Who knows? Does it matter what religion you believe in? Probably not. If you think so, fine. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Apologist Matt Nelson says this indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates our culture. And rather than remain indifferent, he did something about it. In his new book, Just Whatever, Matt looks at the different kinds of indifference you likely encounter in your friends and family members, and maybe in yourself, and offers an antidote to the problem that plagues our age. Order your copy of Just Whatever today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we're talking with the author of Just Whatever. And whatever, man, that is a powerful dismissal. That is a powerfully dismissive word that has become part of everyday life in our culture. Just whatever, how to help the spiritually indifferent find beliefs that really matter. We're giving it away free to everybody who gets through to talk with Matt today. Probably actually everybody who, you know, makes it through the phone lines is probably going to end up getting one. But we'll promise it to everybody who gets through to talk with Matt. If you have a question about maybe someone in your life is expressing this kind of religious indifference, maybe you feel it yourself, just hard to care about all that religious stuff, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We go now to Grace in Rochester, New York, listening on 92.9 FM. Grace, you're on with Matt Nelson. Your question, please.
Hi there. Hopefully you can hear me clearly.
It was
just getting a little tough, but I have two questions. The first one is, when talking with people who don't believe or atheists in general, I guess we oftentimes say you should read the Bible. My question is, I guess one point that atheists bring up is that, like, we point them to the Bible and say it's inerrant, and in saying it's inerrant, we cite the Bible and say, like, read the Bible. to show its inerrancy. And they ask for, like, outside sources to support the Bible's truth. So, like, how do you get around that?
Okay. Well, there's different approaches that you can take with this. This is a great question, by the way, Grace. And it's something that I had a lot of fun researching it during my intellectual conversion. Like I mentioned, at the age of 25, I kind of had this emotional conversion where I knew that God existed and that something was in the Catholic Church that I needed to be a part of. But my intellectual conversion took a lot longer, and I had to ask these questions about the Bible, because not only were skeptics providing arguments for why we shouldn't trust the Bible, but then obviously, Protestant Christians see the Bible as the sole rule of faith. And so there's different perspectives that I needed to really come to unpack the scriptures from. And one of the things that really impressed me was the number of manuscripts that exist today that help us to confirm that what is in the scriptures now is what was originally written. We have over 5,000, in fact, over 5,500 Greek manuscripts and fragments of manuscripts today of the New Testament. That's just in the Greek, and most of the New Testament was written in the Greek. So obviously that is pretty key. The earliest intact, like full scriptures that we've got as far as manuscripts go are from the 4th century, from the Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus. So speaking from the perspective of ancient history, ancient historians think they've hit pay dirt with these sorts of manuscripts, and they're able to verify that what we read in our RSV or our NAB or whatever translation of Bible we have today is what was originally written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, and so forth. So I think like that's one place we can start, just by saying, from the perspective of standards that ancient historians put out there for how can we know that what's in the Bible today is authentic, well, that's one starting point, is we just have a lot of manuscript evidence. That's just Greek manuscripts. Then we've got like over, I think it's over 20,000 manuscripts in other languages like Latin and Syriac and other languages. So there's lots of manuscript evidence. But also New Testament studies has come a long way in recent years. In the mid-1990s, a New Testament scholar named Richard Burridge came out with a book that really changed the opinions of a lot of New Testament scholars at the time. His book was called What Are the Gospels? And he was to make a really compelling case for the Gospels as Greco-Roman biography, which means that what Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John were trying to do when they wrote their Gospels was record the life of a real individual and provide facts and sayings that really occurred in the first century Palestine. So scholarly evidence has come, or scholarly opinion has come a long way to where even critical scholars today will agree, in fact, almost unanimously across the board, both Christian and non-Christian scholars, including the most skeptical ones, and there's actually quite a few atheist and agnostic New Testament scholars out there today. There's a number of facts that New Testament scholars almost unanimously agree on. One of those is the crucifixion of Christ. So forget about the existence of Christ. That's something that almost nobody has argued for a long time. Not only the New Testament scholars, and the majority of them accept his existence, they accept his crucifixion. They also accept other minimal facts like his burial in the tomb, and then several other facts, which I go into depth in the book. The third thing that I would offer you, Grace, is to get to know the arguments for the resurrection of Christ, because the New Testament is essentially the good news of Jesus Christ, and it announces the victory of God over death and over sin. And so how did he do that? Well, he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. If we can show that there's a compelling case for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and if we can do it in a non-biblical way, meaning if we can do it in, say, a historical and a rational way, then we can show that the church he founded, therefore, would have their hands on a on scriptures and on a tradition that we could accept as inerrant and when it comes to the scriptures, God breathed. So the book that I would recommend to you, without hesitation, when it comes to the historical and logical defense of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is a book by two evangelical scholars, Michael Lycona and Gary Habermas. They wrote a book called, which was kind of a popular compilation of many years of intense study, especially by Gary Habermas. And the book is called The Resurrection of the Case for the Resurrection of Jesus. And that is one of the most like mind-blowing books that I've read since I've come back to the Catholic Church when it comes to making a case for not just the existence of Christ, not just his crucifixion on the cross, but for his resurrection from the dead.
Grace, I hope that that is helpful. You're going to get a free copy of Matt's new book, and I'm only moving on because I have not been good about letting people get through to talk with Matt. So I'm going to try to get to as many questions as I can. Thanks, Grace. We go now to Kurt in Janesville, Wisconsin, listening on EWTN. Kurt, your question for Matt Nelson.
Hello. My question is, I have indifferent people, whatever people in my family, and I've been told that you could witness to them, and I have, bring them to Mass, pray for them, but they just are whatever, continue to be that way. Is there anything else you could do?
Hello? Well, it sounds like you've got things in the right order. Let me sympathize with you as well. I think for a lot of people, I was a kind of a hopeless cause maybe at one point. And luckily I was one of those young people that comes out of it pretty early in life. I know that that's not the norm necessarily. I've got people in my own family who are far from the church and raised in the church. And I have a lot of answers, but I haven't been able to, as far as I can tell, budge them from their indifferent or rather skeptical position. So I can sympathize with you. And I think you've got it right that we need to remember spiritually as Christians that we need to not put the burden of the conversion of others completely on our shoulders. We need to carry out our mission as Christians. The church is a mission, as many of the popes have said, especially in modern times. The church is a mission, which makes us all missionaries by virtue of our baptism. And so, we feel the obligation to find a way to reach these people in our lives. And I would say the hardest people to reach are the people closest to us in many cases. You've prayed for them. Have you had many conversations with these people where you've sat back and allowed them to share with you very boldly on their behalf why they hold the beliefs they have?
Probably not enough. That's a good point.
Okay. So that's another step you can take. And
so,
I think
Matt, just to clarify, so are you like saying just ask questions or what exactly are you recommending there?
Okay. One of the tendencies we get when we get into the apologetics scene and we start to digest all this information, get excited about all the reasons to believe, is we just want to share it all right away. But on the other side of it, when we speak to other people about their doubts or their hesitations, a lot of times they're not ready to hear anything you have to say, except tell me how you feel about the Catholic Church, for example, or tell me how you feel about this, the idea of God. So what I'm saying is this is a key entry point. Ask people what they think about our faith or about some specific tenet of the faith or of belief that can be a starting point. Just want to throw this out there and then I'd like to hear more from
Kurt.
Yeah. When I was thinking about what kind of approach can we take with the nuns or with the indifferent, I thought, who are the people? Because religion is kind of one of those things people just don't want to talk about, period. And they get weird about it sometimes as soon as you bring it up. So you can't even have a serious conversation. So I thought to myself, who are the people out there that are having conversations with people on the most sensitive topics imaginable? And I thought of the pro-life movement. And I live in Canada, so this is the home of CCBR with Stephanie Gray and other great pro-life apologists. And one of the things that they do is they stand on a street corner with their pamphlets or whatever they have, and the first thing they say to anyone who walks by is just, "What do you think about abortion?" And that gets the thing off the ground.
We're not going to be able to go back to Kurt because we've come to the end of the hour. But so you could say to someone, "What do you think about the Catholic Church?"
As they do, or "What do you think about religion?" And then find out where to start from there.
Yeah, Matt Nelson, thanks so much for the hour. Really enjoyed it. Just Whatever: How to Help the Spiritually Indifferent Find Beliefs That Really Matter. You can get it at shop.catholic.com. Just Whatever. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Let's do it again sometime. You can also find Matt at reasonablecatholic.com. We'll be right back with Stephen Gray Donis and movies after this.